Third beatitude. The Beatitudes could be looked at several ways and still be accurate. The Beatitudes are the attitudes of Jesus. They're the self-description of Jesus. They are the instructions of Jesus to his disciples, including us. And the one we come to today is that we should be meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall what? Anybody know? Inherit the earth. That's right. Inherit the earth. So the Lord is instructing those who follow him how we ought to think and behave. And so this morning we're going to take up the third of these. Blessed are the meek. Now the word meek doesn't mean weak. Today when people talk about other people being weak, they're conveying the idea that those are weak people. Well, that's not the idea in the scriptures. When Jesus said, blessed are the meek, he was not saying, blessed are the weak. He was saying, blessed are the gentle. These are people who have strength. They might have financial strength, physical strength, political strength. But he says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus describes himself like this and performed like this many times in his ministry when he was on earth. For instance, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus described himself like this, I am gentle and lowly in heart. This is how Jesus lived his life. And he's inviting us to do the same thing. One day, Jesus is going to come back to earth. We call that the second coming. He came once, he died, he lived here, he died, he was resurrected, he went back to heaven, and he is doing a ministry for us as I speak this morning. But he's going to come back, and he's going to fill the earth with righteousness and peace and justice and joy. And the way he's going to do that is he's going to repopulate the entire earth with his people who live like him, who have this beatitude, this attitude that was in him. Does not the scripture say that we ought to put on the mind of Christ? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what was the mind of Christ Jesus? Well, that's what these nine attitudes are about that you find in Matthew chapter 5. These attitudes, let these attitudes be in you, which were also in Christ Jesus. We live in a world that is full of bluster. As a matter of fact, you are thought to be a powerful person if you're just full of bluster. But that's not how Jesus lived his life, nor is it how he tells us to live our lives. No, we should have humble hearts, and we should not be loud, pushy, and overbearing. This is not how Jesus lived his life. According to Romans chapter 14, verse 17, in the millennial kingdom, you know about the millennial kingdom? There's a 1,000-year period that has not occurred yet that is coming. It's in the future, and in that 1,000-year period, Jesus is going to take over the entire earth. And he's going to reorganize it governmentally and militarily. He is going to be the center of that universe. He is going to be the center of that world. He will take up his throne in Jerusalem. It will be the capital of the world. And he is going to repopulate the entire earth with his people. So Jesus is going to fill the earth with his people, and they will do what is right. And they will love King Jesus, and they will practice peace, and the earth will be full of joy. Now, this is talked about many times in the scripture, but that one verse, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, exclaims that to be true. The earth will be occupied by kingdom subjects, you, who are renowned to be meek. And today the Lord has sent me to you to tell you about this requirement that he has. And that is, he wants you and me to learn to be meek and to practice humility and gentleness. Now that will be different in the world, will it not? Jesus promised this: happy are the gentle, because they will inherit the earth. To be meek is to be gentle, because you have your power completely under control. You see, you cannot be meek, or in other words, you cannot be gentle until you have your power under control. And everyone has power. Some people have power in their family. Some people have power over one another in a family. Some people have more power than other people in a church. Some people have more power than others because of their financial place in society. And some people have more power than other people because of the position they hold, maybe a principal or a teacher. I mean, lots of people, matter of fact, everyone has some power over someone else. Jesus is talking to us about that very thing this morning, because he wants us to understand that meekness is gentleness. And whatever power you have, or whatever power I have, I am to use that power in such a way that it is not flaunted, not abused, not overused. Jesus is saying to his disciples here today, be like me. Jesus wants you to be like him. Be like me, because I am humble and I am gentle. This attitude of Jesus will be the common trait of humans in the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. Everyone in the kingdom will be gentle. There will be a new government, and Jesus will be the king, and his subjects will be marked as gentle people. And sometimes we use the terms gentle man or gentle woman, but in that day it will be absolutely true. So, my dear friends and Jesus followers, in the coming kingdom, Jesus and you will have ownership of the kingdom. And Jesus is there right now preparing a place for you. And that's what he said in the book of John: I go to prepare a place for you. That's what Jesus is doing right now. He's getting it ready. He's also interceding for us when we get dirty. And this is the ministry of Jesus today. He's preparing a place for us. You remember when the rich young man approached Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How did Jesus answer him? Do you remember? Jesus told him to divest himself of the present world and live with his heart in the next world. Take up your cross daily. Love me more than you love anyone else, including your family, and let go of your personal wealth and power. Then you can be my disciple. Jesus has made clear to me that I do not have to wait until he comes back in order to live the gentle life. He wants me to live the gentle life right now. He wants me to be a kingdom subject right now. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall, that's a futuristic word, they shall, what? Inherit the earth. And even though the inheritance is yet future for you and me, we can live the kingdom way right now. We can do it in our hearts and our minds and how we treat other people today. This is what the disciples of Jesus were learning, and what the disciples of Jesus today are learning also. How are you on the gentle meter? How do you feel when you're getting weak, when someone else is winning? We live in a very competitive society, and so it confuses us, because we are told that we should be ahead of everybody else. But that's not how Jesus lived his life. Jesus' disciples And there will be millions of them will be blessed. He uses that word shall. To be blessed, I'll remind you from earlier times that I have explained this, but to be blessed means to be happy. That word that is translated from the original language, blessed, at the beginning of every one of those Beatitudes, is exactly the same word that could be translated happy. To be blessed is to be happy. And Jesus promised, blessed or happy are the gentle, because they are going to inherit the earth. You and I have ownership in Jesus' kingdom. And we will be happy and we will be gentle in the new world. And Jesus was sitting with his disciples, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, when he told them that they could have that attitude in this present world. My beloved, you don't have to wait until the end of this world. You can live the kingdom life right now. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Jesus wants us to do. Live the kingdom life right now. Be gentle, women, and be gentle, men, like me, Jesus was saying. And so the word blessed literally means to be happy. But the word also carries the implication of ownership, of inheritance. When we say, bless you, it's usually after someone sneezed. Or we might be generous to someone and just say to them, may the Lord bless you. We are hoping to grace and give grace to one another when we do such things. In reality, we don't have the power to make another person happy by changing their circumstances or their health. But we have the wish for them, and so we say, bless you. But I want to refer you back to an Old Testament story, a true story. I want you to remember the person Isaac. Do you remember his father's name was Abraham? So it was Abraham and his son Isaac and his son Jacob. And by this line, the Messiah eventually came into the world. Well, Abraham was the original Hebrew or the original Jew. And then Isaac was born, and then Jacob. And Isaac, when he was a very old man, he blessed, there's that word again, he blessed Jacob. And in that situation, to bless was a guarantee of inheritance. Now, according to the ways of that day and how things were done in that culture, to bless your son was to guarantee that that one is the one who's chosen to gain the inheritance of the family. And according to that, the oldest son inherited most of the land and the wealth of the father, along with the responsibility to take care of the rest of the family. And the oldest son was usually the one that was chosen for that. And so the eldest son would be the one who would be given the blessing of inheritance. Well, the oldest son, his name was not Jacob. Who was the oldest son? You remember? Who knows? Esau, that's right. Esau was the oldest son. But Esau was not very responsible and he wasn't paying attention. And even though he was the oldest son, Jacob, the younger of the two, tricked his father and tricked his brother and played the role of Jacob, because you see, the old man was so old that he could not see and he could not discern who it was that was before him. And so Jacob, the younger one, tricked his father, came before his father, and he said to his father, I am Esau. Bless me, my father. Now, this is pretty interesting, because just by the announcement of blessing, he inherited the entire wealth of the family. And that's exactly what happened. And so the blessing, we're talking about the word blessing, the blessing also is a guarantee of inheritance. And that's true of us. God wants to bless us. And Jesus in the Beatitude is making a promise. He says, blessed are those who are gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. My friends, you're going to get the whole world. You're going to be part owner of the whole world. along with Jesus. You see, to bless not only meant happiness, it also meant guaranteed inheritance. And when Isaac blessed Jacob instead of Esau, though it was by trick, that pronouncement was legally and irrevocably binding. And Isaac said to him, "Bless you, my son." He didn't realize who he was blessing, but nevertheless, the law was stamped and the future was set. The wealth and power of the family was transferred to Jacob the younger. And to bless in that case was to guarantee an inheritance and the power that came with the inheritance. Now, Jesus today is also promising power and happiness to you. Remember that I explained last week that the Beatitudes were not instant gratification pieces. And even though Jesus pronounced that you would be happy if you're poor, it doesn't mean that you would get instant gratification, but happiness was surely coming because of your poverty of spirit. Jesus is promising here power and happiness and inheritance in the world to come. And that promise is to his disciples. And I invite you today to take it seriously. Those who are like Jesus are very gentle. People who are pushy, bullying, loud, driving are not like Jesus. Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. I remind you that Jesus was not a weak person. He created the universe. That takes a lot of power, don't you think? He set the stars in place. He created your body that you have right now. Nuclear power is just a little firecracker compared to Jesus. Nevertheless, Jesus is meek and gentle. He is described in the Bible as a shepherd. There's quite a difference between a shepherd and a cattle driver. A cattle driver is loud and pushy and shoving and sticking and poking and goading. But a shepherd doesn't do that. A shepherd has two tools. One is a staff and the other is a rod. The staff is for gently getting the sheep back on the path so they don't get lost. And the rod is for the enemy who would dare attack a sheep. You see, how we live our lives can be very different than how other people live their lives. And one of the hallmarks of being like Jesus is being a gentle person. Jesus is power under control. Imagine if Jesus was power out of control. Can you imagine the scary situation that would be? But he's always been perfectly under control. He is true to his person. He is true to his purpose. He is true to his Father. And he has never been out of control. What is he controlled by? But the Bible answers that question. Love. He's controlled by love. God is love. And though he's the most powerful person and the most powerful force that ever existed, he is the master of self-control. And he always acts in love. And he is inviting you to join him in the same attitude. The Beatitude, power over self. And that's what the word gentle means. The bottom line of this whole thing, this one-line sermon that Jesus presents to us, if I'm a practicing disciple of Jesus, I'm a gentle person. Husbands who are his followers, I happen to be a husband, and so I'm in this situation. We are commanded in the Bible not to be harsh with our lives. There's a direct command in the scripture to be gentle toward our wives. He is calling us to his own standard. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 19 tells the husbands not to be harsh with their wives. People of weak character are rude, pushy, moody, loud, harsh. But the whole earth one day will be filled with very gentle people who are not like that at all. Gentleness is the powerful strategy to control my own anger. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a gentle answer turns away anger. It's the antidote to anger. If someone is angry with you, what do? Here's how it normally goes. Someone makes a statement that is confronting, and the next person gets louder in response. And then the first person who says something gets louder than that person. Then the next person gets louder than that person. And that's not uncommon in our world, in our day, in our society. That's how it works. But the book of Proverbs says, a soft anger turns away wrath. Soft anger is gentle talk. To talk gently. And then the next line says, but a harsh word stirs up anger more. If someone's angry with you and they make a statement that upsets you and you get louder than they get, what's going to happen? It's going to spiral. It's predictable. Until there is a break. And people are separated. And people even murder one another. The intent of murder is elimination, by the way. This is what Jesus taught his disciples. If I have the intent to eliminate you because I'm tired of you or upset with you, I really have murder in my heart. You see, it takes self-control and love to overcome that. Pastors and spiritual leaders are told not to argue, but to be kind and gentle. Now, I have been with pastors many times in my life. And I'm sad to say that that is violated many times. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 is a direct statement to pastors. And it says, correct your opponents with gentleness. Not loudness. Not using your power to overcome them. Not using your popular office to drill them. None of that. But to correct them using the scriptures with gentleness. Wives who are Jesus followers, did you know that God has a directive to you also concerning this very thing? God has made men to respond to you correctly if your response is a gentle and quiet attitude. It says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, not only does it talk about to men to be gentle, but it says the women ought to be gentle. For instance, it says, let your beauty not just be external. The braiding of your hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. He didn't say not to wear those things. He's saying just don't depend on those things for how you get along with people. But let it be the inner person of the heart with lasting beauty of this quality. And you know what the quality was that he named? Of course you know, gentleness. Gentleness and tranquility. And God even said, which is precious in my sight. Isn't that something? God thinks it's precious when you're gentle and you're quiet. Now, I think about the person in the Old Testament who was declared to be the most gentle person in history. You know who it was? Who was the most gentle person in history? Moses. It was Moses. Moses didn't want to be the leader. You remember that, don't you? Moses, no way, God, I don't want to be the leader. These are ruffians. These people are tough. Besides, I don't speak well. I've got a lisp. And I have a hard time. And I don't think I should be the leader. Let Aaron be the leader. No, God said no. I want you to be the leader. Why? Because God put something in Moses that other people did not have. He had a spirit of gentleness. He had a spirit of meekness. He was the meekest man who ever lived, Jesus said. Now, whoever is your leader, whoever you choose to be your leader, you would be wise to make sure that person practices gentleness. Had it been any other leader than Moses, he would have beat them to death. Do you know what skeptics jeer at when you present your faith? You know, you talk about the hope that you have in Christ, and you talk about your eternal life hope. And you know what? They will often jeer you, roll their eyes, or walk away. But the Lord told us how to deal with these people who jeer at our hope. Remember 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason why you have the hope you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. Isn't it tempting to argue with people about your faith? It's tempting. Yeah, you know a little bit about the Bible and you've got it under your belt and you're ready to go. So you pull out your gun and you say, I'm ready. No, 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 no. The Bible says with gentleness and respect, you answer people. You see, God has told us how to live like Jesus in this regard of gentleness. Parents, may I talk to you for just a moment? I encourage you not to yell or lord over your children, because one day you're going to be my age and you may turn into the child and they may be the adult. Deal gently with your children as you instruct them in the Lord, and do it with great self-control. The Bible says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, don't upset your children. If you are too hard to please, they may want to stop trying. Don't discourage your children. Encourage your children. Being loud and harsh and demanding can cause your children to want to quit. It's always my job as a parent to encourage my kids. Come on, you can do it. Let's try it again. Gentleness always communicates love. Gentleness always communicates love. Harshness builds resentment, parents. And what does resentment produce over time? If you resent someone, what does it produce over time? Turns into bitterness, does it not? And resentment. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, don't embitter your children. How about those of you who have a boss at work? Anybody here have a boss at work? Let's look at the Lord's instruction about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 4 says, if you have a boss that is angry with you, don't quit. You might feel like quitting, but don't quit. A quiet spirit will quiet his bad temper. Isn't that interesting? It says that in the Bible. You can look it up in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 4. If you have a boss that all of a sudden blows up at you, the Bible gives you instruction what to do. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it says, you be quiet. You be gentle in your speech in return. Get back to work. Do what you're supposed to do, and his temper will calm. Teenagers, I lastly turn to you. Those of you who are single and those of you who are teenagers, I want to ask you to listen to me. If you date a person who is not kind and gentle, you are playing with poison. Now, please listen to me. I'm saving your life right now. If you date a person and then you continue to date a person who is not kind and gentle, you are playing with poison. Ladies, don't be wowed by appearance, by power, by popularity. Be wowed by power with kindness and gentleness. A person who knows how to handle self-control and who is always responding to hard situations with kindness and gentleness. Don't be a fool thinking that you can fix that girl or boy. Don't think that you can. You can't. I asked a friend of mine after he had been married 25 years. It was his 25th wedding anniversary. He was a missionary to Haiti. And I happened to be with him on his anniversary day. And I said to him, what have you learned in 25 years that would be helpful to tell other people? And you know what he told me? He said, what I learned in 25 years is to stop trying to change my wife. That was great wisdom. You know why? Because it ain't never going to happen. God can change people, but people seldom change. I say to you teenagers, and I say to you single people, do not date. Dating is preparation for marriage, you know. Some people seem not to know that. Dating is preparation for marriage. Do not date a person who is not kind and gentle in every circumstance, because you're going to be on the other end of that one day. There are people who are always gentle. And there really are people on planet Earth that are always kind. Find them. You may have to look a long time, but find them. That's a treasure. Now, I'm telling you the Word of God. This beatitude that Jesus sets before you and me is a prophecy. Did you notice it's a prophecy? Happy are the gentle, for they shall. It's futuristic. They shall inherit the earth. But you can practice gentleness today and be a kingdom person. You can be like Jesus today. It doesn't matter what other people do. You don't have to control them. Just control yourself and always be gentle. And you will be like Jesus. You are guaranteed an inheritance with happiness based on your gentleness now. You are earning a place in the kingdom now. Take it seriously. It's important. Let's pray. Lord, we live in a world that does not believe what you just said. As a matter of fact, if we don't fight back and yell back and be mean back, they'll just think we're weak. Help us to get over it, Lord. Putting up appearances. Help us to be like Jesus. I pray, Lord, that everyone here right now will be people who benefit from your words, benefit from your advice, of how to live this life right now. And I pray these things, Lord, because we are desperate for you. We are desperate, Lord, to know how to live. So teach us what it means, Lord, indeed, in practice, to be meek, happy people. And I pray these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, Spirit of the Living God. You know that song, don't you? It's just one verse. It's a prayer. Will you pray it to the Lord? Ask Him to make you a gentle person consistently. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill your head. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come forward or anything like that. But I, right now, between you and the Spirit of God, will you pray and ask Him to make you a gentle person in every situation? Talk to Him right now. Lord, may you perform it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to ask.